Hello, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell with your Breecap for the Only Vans podcast. And today I talked to my longtime friend, Kyle Park, who is a staple of the Texas music scene and beyond, and keeps impressing us with his records and, of course, his newest project, which I love, the Texas Trio. The members of the trio are Grammy Award-winning fiddle player Jason Roberts and George Strait's ace in the whole band keyboardist John Michael Whitby, who made me play piano with them one time at Steamboat Music Fest after I drank a bunch of beers, and I meant to call him out on the podcast, and I forgot, but what the heck, John Michael. Anyway, check them out at thetexastrio.com. I also think it's crazy that 70 shows a year is cutting way back for people like Kyle and I. That's still a lot of shows. Quick note, I talk about my favorite recording engineer in Nashville, and I totally blank on his name because, hello, no sleep. Sorry, Chad Carlson, I totally know your name, and you're the dang best. Check out Kyle's new venture and for sure the beautiful Cross Mountain Vineyards wedding and event venue online or on Instagram. It's in the wine country in Fredericksburg, Texas, and it's gorgeous. We actually filmed the podcast there, and producer Kyle and I got a private tour. I'm so thankful to my great friend Kyle Park for joining me. Visit kylepark.com for all the latest, including a new acoustic record coming soon.
Oh my gosh, and when recording with him and doing harmonies, it's like he... There's no question of if this is the right note or not. Like doing two parts and three part harmonies on instruments or vocals, it's just. Jason, is that right? Yep. No. Yes. Okay. Good. Let's move on. Like versus, like I don't know. It could be all right. Yeah. Let's just keep trying it. Like no, he knows it. It's all in his head. He's incredible.
It's so
incredible
funny because he just looks like he could, you know, rope some things, and then he's just like this. He's this brilliant musician.
He is incredible. He can play anything.
Is that a good way?
I don't know.
Jason Roberts, I wrote some things.
Howdy. Here's my bumper sticker. I play Western Swing and I wrote some things.
But I mean, he's so like, he's not the guy that's going to sit down next to you and be like, I know so much more about music than you
No,
do.
The
I
most
mean,
humble like, person in the world.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. And then?
just kidding.
What's John Michael Whitby's tagline?
John Michael is, almost 20 years with George Strait now. He played with Randy Rogers Band for years. Mm-hmm. He played with Asleep at the Wheel for years. He managed me up until just a few years ago for almost my whole career.
Hey, hey, everybody, this is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Put your mouth up to this mic.
Hey, eat it.
Dude, you don't know how this works.
Eat it.
Be a podcaster, they said.
Beware of dog. I love the sticker. That's great. Beware of dog.
Oh, I know.
You can tell when he starts parking.
My friend ferocious. Lauren bought us that sticker, beware of dog, on my RV. You know what? And I also have some sparkly mace up there. I'm really going to do some damage with that sparkly mace. Do you remember our gator hunting trip?
Oh, yeah.
That's how I wanted to start this podcast.
Do you remember the hunting vehicle that y'all were in? The ranch truck? Y'all brought the electric ranch truck?
Oh my gosh. Oh, that is so funny.
We gave y'all so much hell for that.
So that is hilarious. Well, we've already
this is what year was this? 2014?
That sounds about right. At least 12 to 14.
2013 maybe? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's like electric vehicles weren't very popular at the point, and y'all showed up and I was like, oh cool, that's what you show up to in a gator hunt.
That's hilarious. My ex-boyfriend was driving a Prius at the time.
That was pretty
funny.
That's
what Kyle Park is referring to. But we did a Wounded Warriors hunt, and what's that? Is that from
that's from
thing?
The gator hunt.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so that's the color that my gator hide was supposed to be.
Yep.
So the guy, this really, you know, wealthy man, he sponsored this gator hunt for this veteran, and then we ended up going out there. First of all, I didn't know there was alligators in Victoria, Texas.
Oh yeah.
But like big, giant, like record-setting alligators.
What's his name? Shot a 13-footer, 14-footer?
13-footer. So when they pulled up the first gator, it was one of the small ones, and I wasn't supposed to shoot one. I was just there kind of as a guest, and then he handed me the pistol and I shot the gator, and that was insane because I wasn't planning on doing that. And then when I got my hide back, it came in the mail and it's bright red, like, and I called Randy and I was like, hey, my gator, because
Randy
was,
Wyatt,
yes, and I was supposed to have the same color that you just showed, and I said, my gator's red, and he said, oh, you drink a bottle of wine, and we're like, I want mine red. So I have a full red
That's
gator.
Cool, though. Yeah.
But I got to hang out with you.
That was the coolest.
That was the coolest.
Yeah.
And I remember being a little bit mortified because you played a new song and it was so good. And I was like, who'd you write that with? And you were like, by myself. And I was like, really?
I didn't make that face at that.
I think Hopefully you're not. Such a great writer and great guitar
Thank
player,
you.
Great musician. And I mean, I want to get into all of those things, but it's just fun to talk to you because you gave me my favorite nickname.
Beyonce.
That's right.
You know, every time if you text me, it says, should you update your contact to Brianna Bagwell? No, I'm not going to do that. It's, her name is Beyonce. And I just push the little X, but it keeps popping up. But anyway, here on my phone is Beyonce.
Well, that's amazing. Because we used to get to play a lot of shows together.
No.
And it was so fun. Do you ever miss those days?
Well, those particular shows? Absolutely.
No, no.
I still have those days of playing I don't know what you're referring to, but things haven't changed that much, I don't feel like.
Oh, okay. I just feel like things were kind of easier, I feel like, maybe. Maybe it was less content driven and more kind of like could just go.
I yearn for those days.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm.
I mean, if we're gonna dig deep real quick, yeah. I mean, I did not become a musician to be a social media influencer. Last thing I was on my bingo card.
That's what
right?
you signed up for.
Yeah, I
it's
know.
Like, no, I didn't.
And that's exactly. I accept that we don't sell CDs anymore. Like that was a huge part of the musician's revenue. I mean, arguably six figures for most of the people doing this thing per year, right? And then that to be taken away. I know streaming, we're figuring it out. It's not like it's no money. It's some money, but it's not like CD sales were. Not to be an old man here. But then, I accepted that. That's fine. Rolled the punches. And I mean, I remember being in college and getting on Facebook and thinking, this is cool. You know, I understand this is really important for my career and brand, and like so much easier than putting out flyers on campus, right. Whatever it was. But then there's like seven of them you have to deal with now. And it's like, oh, and let's even get off. Here's something crazy stat. I heard that every day 100,000 new songs are uploaded to Spotify.
Every day?
Every day 100,000 songs. That's what we're up against.
Right. It's so overcrowded.
And they want you to release a song every 2 to 4 weeks now in order to meet the algorithm's expectation.
I know.
Crazy.
And I don't, but I'm also like, where are the people getting this money to record? Like, how, I'm so
and
confused.
To record all the social media videos and record music and write songs, but
I know.
And raise two kids.
Oh, I know. You're a daddy now. I definitely want to talk about that. But speaking of college, I was so excited. I remember my Absolute Texas, we hired Kyle Park when I was in college at
that.
The Hitching Post.
Do you remember that?
For $1,500. And
I remember that now. Yeah.
No, but I think like
it was a cool show outside though.
Outside, but like $1,500 like in 2006 maybe.
I was 21.
Yeah, living your best life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that people nowadays it's almost like gone down. How long have you been doing it at that point?
Not long. I mean, my first album came out when I was 19, 20, so that's I didn't have a second album yet.
Wow.
So
that's great. Mm-hmm. That's so
pretty
fun.
Cool.
Okay, so you've been doing like about 20 years then.
Uh-huh, 20 years.
You and Pauly?
Pauly.
I know.
I was hoping to see him today, but yeah.
Oh, he's really upset like because we're going to William Chris after this, and he's like super upset because he loves wine. And you and I have been talking about double dating in wine country because you live now in
Fredericksburg. I live in the wine country, yes.
And we had to just do a podcast so we could see each other. So
had to drink some wine just to make sure we make this work. Yeah.
Why and how did you move here? Was it for your hot wife or was it?
That's correct.
Yeah, right. I would move here for her too.
Yes.
And we're at, can you talk about this place? Or
yes,
we
are at Cross Mountain Vineyard right now. So what brought us to Fredericksburg was she's from Kerrville, so that was easy. You know, being close to her family, me being on the road, traveling, it made sense to start the family and be close to her parents.
Totally.
And they're very supportive. They're awesome people. And not to mention that he was given this opportunity to start an Italian wine business in town. He's a ranch real estate broker, and he acquired an import license from Italy. So all of our wines that we have are 100% from Italy. We just import everything, bottled, labeled, shipped. I mean, it's all back in this warehouse back here.
That's incredible.
So we don't have a vineyard. We call it Cross Mountain Vineyards. When he acquired the license, he also acquired 14 acres that had some grapes on it and a house downtown and the right to lease a business downtown. And he just kind of sold a few things, sold the vineyard, kept the business downtown, now bought new land, built some cabins and a wedding venue. It's a big operation.
And this is your father-in-law.
Yes.
Well, good for him.
He's killing it.
Yeah. I love this man.
And by the way, I mean, I didn't know much about, I mean, I'm no sommelier or sommelier, right. whatever the hell pronounce yeah. it, but I do know more about Italian wine now, being married to my hot wife.
Right.
And Brandy, by the way. And she's a fan.
She's the best.
And she taught me a lot about the wines. And I mean, it's hard to say that Italian wine isn't the best, if not some of the best wines in the world. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely. Or like,
it's gotta be.
Whenever we get Italian food with Italian wine, like, there's nothing that makes my boyfriend happier than the pairing of those two things.
I know. It really is the best. I mean, yep, I love it. It's hard to, like, I used to not drink anything but like a Cab Sauv before I started drinking Italian wines. Now I just drink Italian wines.
That's like, so interesting. I wonder if we should just maybe have to go, like, your father-in-law, he needs to do like a discovery, you know, Italian trip to
we
go.
We did one.
You already did?
Yep, before 2020. We went in 2018 or 9.
Oh, I was saying with me, like with me and Paul.
You did with me? I don't remember.
Yeah, no, I mean like with me and Paul.
Let's go. Well,
and you and Brandon and the awesome. Kids. I can watch the kids one night when you guys, because you guys.
We're going to have to leave the kids, huh?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll be in not good shape to be taking care of any kids. I'm in Italy drinking wine and having a good time.
I feel like kids in Italy also are drinking wine, so.
That's true.
Maybe.
That's true.
Do you love being a dad?
I love it so much. It really, all those stories, like, it's going to change your life. I'm like, hey, just slow down. Let it change my life. Don't tell me it's going to change my life. And it totally, totally has changed my life.
Yeah.
Like,
I just get crazy when people, because I don't even have a child, but when people are like, oh, just wait. Like, people always tell Paul that about his daughter. Just wait. And we're like, what? We're just enjoying this moment. Like, everyone kind of gets real doomsday about, like, oh, you just wait till 3, now you just wait till 7, now you just wait till 13.
I've kind of done it to her, to Brandon, like, just wait till she's a teen and she's lipping back. She's like, why do you keep saying that? I'm a good mother. I'm like, it doesn't matter, just kids are kids, and it's gonna, quit saying that. It's
okay,
like,
her and I are on the same
yeah side. I'm just like, yeah, expectations are different. Yeah. I guess
girls.
She's a sweet, they're both sick right now, unfortunately, that that's why I'm leaving here, going back home to see them.
Yeah,
but
sorry about that.
They're okay, just the normal seasonal stuff.
Yeah. Well,
that I'm sure they'll give me in a couple of days.
I know, right? And then you give it to me, and then I'm just, you know what? I don't have any shows until Sunday.
That's nice.
It feels strange, but it's like Thanksgiving weekend, and you either get the big show or you.
You ever played
don't.
On Thanksgiving?
No.
I have one time, and it was so horrible. It was just like, I felt so alone. I mean, the show wasn't that bad. I just like, right. I wasn't supposed to be there. I was supposed to be with my family. I love Thanksgiving. It's like, yeah. I love it more than most holidays, actually, because I love getting together. I have a big family, and we all get together and have a big, you know, meal. And anyway, but I played one time at Schrader Hall down south, and it was, I was on stage thinking, this is so bad, I want to be home.
I get super lonely because my family's far, so holidays are always kind of hard if I can't get all the way home. But that reminded me of a show that you and I did together that taught me. It was really early on, and I mean, I really vividly remember a lot of our shows together because, well, A, you had like the best crew, and so I was...
Good crew. Great crew.
I was a 4-piece band with no tour manager, no merch person, so like... Naftis, your tour manager, Matt Naftis, was always helping me. And then Jay Rice, Justin Rice, was always like, he would help me sell my t-shirts. And he would just be like, I sold 10 t-shirts, here's some cash. And I'm like, well, you're using Kyle Park's credit card machine, so I owe you probably like 3% processing
fees. Yeah, some processing fees. Yeah, on interest. Woo,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You know what's funny is Jay Rice, who was Kyle's merch guy, he's actually at my house with Paul Eason. They're doing drywall right now.
And man, he's a handyman, Jay Rice is.
He's amazing. And I was kind of talking to him about just crew and how he's worked his way all the way up where he's
Randy Rogers' band now.
Randy Rogers' band, and doing a lot of stuff for him and like having to hire merch people.
I feel like I underutilized him when he was in my band now. Like, he's the social media, you know, king at that band. Like, what did I not do?
Yeah. But I think he just was hustling all the time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, he's here? He was just saying, I hustled all the time and I worked as hard as I could. And my, you know, my body always hurts and I was poor for a long time. And he really is a great example of how far you can go in this scene if you just do a really great job.
He's great.
He's great.
One of my guys.
One of your
lifer.
Guys. But what I was saying was that one of those shows with us in particular taught me my first lesson of Friday night Texas football. I don't know if you remember this, but we were playing in Yoakum, Texas. And Yoakum was in the state championship football game.
I recall. Yeah. Yeah. What was that little venue called?
Gin and Joachim Gin and Feed.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
But I was like, nobody. This can't be real because I'm from New Mexico. Like, football's a big deal, but it's not like Texas football.
Yeah.
The town was a ghost town. Yep. Like, they didn't even have bartenders because they were like, we can't.
I feel like I gave some money back on that show or something.
That's
like
nice
that.
Of
or,
you.
Or I didn't and then I never got hired again or one of the two. I hadn't played there since. I know that.
Sorry, Joachim.
So it was a bad turnout.
That wasn't our fault though. Like it was 0% our fault.
Now, I think that as a musician I can make an excuse for every bad show.
Me too.
But also the good shows, I'm like, yeah, that's how it's supposed to go.
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah, duh. But on the bad show, but truly though, there have been times where I've not played certain venues or I'm sure I've not gotten calls again. When like you're just up against a tornado, literally, yeah. Or the power goes out, or right. or just like the night before, the biggest guy on the charts throws a free concert in town. It's like just and you put that in your notes, and you look back, and then like, you just anyway.
Mine is always Pat Green is right down the road,
right?
Like that is I feel like that's just, that
that's
happens
funny.
To me. All that just happened to me in Amarillo again. I was like, you have got to be kidding me! Like I even texted Pat, and I was like, could you just. Stop killing my shows.
Tell
dude.
Your agent, my agent, to quit talking, please.
Yeah, or let's do shows together instead because we're already at the same place.
I feel like mine's been the rain. Like it won't rain in somewhere for a month and 2 months, and all of a sudden it just like pours down rain for 4 hours from 8 to 12, and it stops. And it's like that was cool. That helped the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot. No, I know. And
but I can't curse the rain because I want it. You know. So
I know.
But
it's always something. Well, when you play as much as we were.
Yeah,
there is always stuff going to happen.
I'm not playing much anymore. I mean, compared to 150 like it was, I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was like, obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
Well, I feel like you're always doing cool stuff, though. Like, okay, so if you want to segue into Texas Trio, because I feel like y'all are doing a lot of stuff together. And then, like, the times that I've seen you recently, it's like we're doing private party stuff together. So I feel like you're really in that market with that band, too, which is amazing.
I love the trio. It's just a way to step away from my music and be a side man, kind of. I mean, I love being the front man, and I love being in charge of the show. I really do, because when we're sometimes in the trio, we'll get sidetracked. I'm like, man, this isn't as professional as I want to be. But it's like, I'm only a third of the band, so I could just shut up and just enjoy it and lay back. And
interesting.
I don't know. I like it sometimes. I love not having to talk and not having the pressure of it being my show.
Yeah.
That's why I like it.
Oh, that's so nice. I think that, I can't even imagine what that would feel like, because it's kind of like the burden of all the ticket sales, all the jokes, all the flow of the show, all the choices of set. Like, I feel like that always, when it falls on your shoulders 150 times a year for 15 years, that's kind of where I'm at. Sometimes I'm like, it gets super heavy, especially like every week, like ticket sales reports and ads and how much to spend and like, what am I doing the right thing and spending the money in the right places? Like, that would be fun to do something that's a little less pressure.
And no matter what, how big or small you are, that's all the same questions, all the same problems. I recall talking to John Michael about George Strait, and it's like just it's the same problems.
Right.
And it's not him, it's the team complaining about marketing and getting this and ticket sales, but it's just the same problems at different scale.
Yeah, or
it's
like funny. That time that I saw you last, you had pulled up in a van because your bus was in the shop, and I had just spent $5,000 on my Sprinter, and you were like, oh, I'm going to have to spend $50,000 on this bus. Like, it was the same exact problem, but one more zero.
New engine, yep. Oh, my God. That almost made me quit the music business. just the heart was, because I hadn't played many shows, wasn't playing many to begin with, and then, boom, 50 grand. And plus, like, you can't sell a bus with no engine. It's like, you got to get it fixed. It's worth less than what,
$50,000, though. Like, did you sell an organ or something? I mean, like, that's insane.
I just...
I mean, me spending $5,000 put me in, like, a dark depression.
I'll tell you what God is good, and that year, or I guess around then, I signed a sponsorship deal with the city of Kyle, Texas.
Oh, my gosh.
They approached me, and it worked out, and I will tell you, it damn near paid for that bus.
Okay, that's amazing. I know. We've been talking about year-end stuff and what we're pitching to sponsors, and it's kind of like, oh, your life with a sponsorship is about half as easy. I mean, like, it lessens all of my stress by at least 50% when I have a good sponsorship.
Yeah.
Because it's that money, that cushion in the bank, or if you have an emergency, or if you have anything like that. Like, that is so insane. But I do want to tell everyone who is in the Texas Trio. Sometimes I'm bad at, I'm like, you guys know, but if they don't know, you want to tell them about the band members?
Jason Roberts, a two-time Grammy award-winning fiddle player. He played with the Sleep at the Wheel for almost 20 years. He's played with George Strait. He's played with Willie Nelson, with Van Morrison, with every... And he is the head of the Bob Wills Texas Playboys currently.
No big deal.
Yeah, I mean, he really is like the reincarnation of Bob Wills. If there's a second coming, it's him, right?
And
or Johnny Gimble, you know.
I love talking to him. I think he knows that.
He's
a
sweetheart.
He knows how much I'm like, Jason, let's go chat. Because every time I see him at Steamboat, I kind of like beeline for him because I enjoy talking to him.
He's
so
kind. He's he knows so much about music. He is, oh my gosh, and when recording with him and doing harmonies, it's like there's no question of if this is the right note or not. Like doing two parts and three part harmonies on instruments or vocals, it's just, Jason, is that right?
Yep.
No? Yes? Okay, good. Let's move on. Like versus like, I don't know. It could be all right. Let's just keep trying it. Like, no, he knows it. It's all in his head. He's incredible.
It's so
incredible
funny because he just looks like he could, you know, rope some things, and then he's just like this. He's this brilliant musician.
He is incredible. He can play anything.
Is that a good way?
Rope, I don't know. Some I just things. Rope, yeah.
Jason Roberts, I rope some things.
Howdy. Here's my bumper sticker. I play Western Swing and I rope some things.
I rope some things. But I mean, he's so like, he's not the guy that's going to sit down next to you and be like, I know so much more about music than you
do. No,
like,
the most humble person in the world.
Totally, yeah. Okay. And then?
just kidding.
What's John Michael Whitby's tagline?
John Michael is, almost 20 years with George Strait now. He played with Randy Rogers Band for years. Mm-hmm. He played with Sleep at the Wheel for years. He managed me up until just a few years ago for almost my whole career.
Wow.
He produced my first two records. Also produced a few other people's records. Great piano player, singer, this band is just, we got hired for, do you know Dale Funk? I think you know Dr. Dale Funk out of Abilene, maybe not.
No.
He's a good buddy. You should know him, he's great.
I feel like I should know that name.
You probably do, the Funk, Uptown Funk you up. I almost messed up and said the wrong word. So he hired us for his like 50th birthday party, a couple years ago, and I think that's what it was, or whatever it was. Sorry, Dale. Whatever it was, 40th birthday party, and say, man, this is pretty fun. Like, we just played some cover songs, didn't have any original songs. And after that, a few people saw us and hired us for another event, hired us for something else. And we was like, well, should we give ourselves a name?
Jason Roberts ever FaceTiming anybody? Like, I feel like
we did it first, but his service was so, he has like an old phone that doesn't work well.
Exactly
like an
what
iPhone
I'm talking
9,
about. Yeah.
You know, and it just doesn't quite, this doesn't catch up. And so we just call on speakerphone and do it. And
that's
We've written, I mean, what I think are some great songs, but five or six now?
That's awesome.
Something like that.
And you just released a Christmas song?
Yep. I wrote that with Kimberly Dunn.
No. Mm-hmm.
And she recorded it already. There's a version. She has a full band version that I produced. She put it out in, I think, 18 or 19.
Well, then I'm sure I've heard that before.
It was on the radio for her. It was really cool. And she came to me saying, hey, I want to do a Western Swing song, and I don't know who else to call, so she called. I produced it, put a band together. I put Floyd Domino on piano. I mean, freaking awesome. Who else did I have on that record? I'm blanking now, but anyway, it was awesome having Floyd, and I think John Carroll played guitar. I'm pretty sure I had Jason playing fiddle. I did,
Wow.
So
that's incredible. I love Kimberly Dunn.
She's fantastic.
She's so good at everything, singing, writing, performing.
She's in a bad
girl.
Mood. Her smile is twice as big as mine. Like,
I've never.
Hey! It's like, oh my gosh, you never catch her in a bad mood. She's amazing.
No.
Yeah.
I love her so much, and I'm proud of her because she's just doing so many great things. But,
Wait,
producing? Have you produced More things that I didn't know about?
Have you heard of me? Have you heard of me produce yet?
What have you produced?
I've produced a couple of songs for a guy named Jake Carr out of Houston. I've produced a couple of songs for Brett Hendricks.
Yeah.
I produced that song for Kimberly. I've also produced recently 6 songs for Ben McPherson, our fiddle player. Ben wrote some songs, and I produced those for him. They'll come out next year.
I didn't know that.
And then I've produced my last 5 records, 6 records.
Oh my gosh. Well, I knew that you did that, but you're such a talented player.
I love producing. I love it.
That's what I was going to say. So is that like something you would like to do more of? Or
100%. Really? Just, I don't know how do I get my name out there as a producer? I don't know, but I would love to do it more. I remember doing it for my music the first time and thinking and being scared of wasting money, wasting time, wasting songs. Like, because thinking that if you record, you have to put it out, which you don't. You're just wasting money at that point, which sucks. But I didn't. It was just an idea of having confidence and believing in your ideas and putting the right team together. And you learn something new every time. Now it's all confidence. Now it's like anxious, ready to get in there, pumped about it. Having ideas before you even get in there, I love it.
Well, I think the reason that you would make such a good producer is because sometimes it's so weird to work with a producer who's not a song person. And so, like, Rachel Loy produces all my stuff, but, like, we're sitting on the floor with Brian Keenan, like, and Rachel analyzing songs and verses and kind of tearing them apart and putting them back together. And, like, you would be such an asset for that. If you have somebody that you trust that's not, like, talking down to you or whatever, but if someone can collaborate with you on making your songs better, I think that's where I really connected with her. Is she was the first person that wasn't just like, this is amazing, let's go record it. It was like, she was like, oh, verse 2 is not near as good as verse 1, or like, you're almost saying something, but I'm not sure what it is. Like, she's so good at in wording it where I'm like, totally, and I go fix it, and then, or she helps me fix it, or Brian helps me fix it.
That's really cool. I mean, I guess that's a producer's role. I mean, there's no definition of a producer. Right. For me, it's like, so far, it is trying to hire the right people and don't get in their way.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I mean, a lot of it is the biggest mistakes I've made are like the same ones. It's like trying to tell someone what to do before take one. It's like, just you hired them, they're really good at their jobs, like, let them do what comes to their mind first, then maybe discuss where it should go. But if you say, all right, here's how I think the song should sound, and you start pitching out like bass lines and solo ideas, you're stifling them immediately. And like, you're getting in their way, and like, just let them be a musician. And
Do you know better than John Carroll?
Exactly.
Like, probably
exactly. No. I mean, I might have an idea.
Right.
But really, it's like, and usually my idea is wrong too.
Or it's very fun to like, that's kind of what we do too. Rachel Loy will kind of say, and I'll say, even if I have something that I do want to say, like, the last example I have is I said, I want this to sound like Zorro riding in on a horse, like in El Paso, towards the border. And everyone was like someone hit a bell and it was like, and everyone kind of just starts jamming and it kind of forms. And it's like, it's the most magical creating music. I don't love writing. Writing to me is like tedious, but I make myself do it all the time. So I'm more of a quantity person. And then my producer that I need is like a polisher kind of, or able to kind of pick what songs, and then watching them come to life is the reason that I do music.
Yeah.
Where'd you record All Nighters?
The Zone in Dripping Springs.
Awesome.
I've done my last 2 projects and the Texas Trio. I've been there. I just fell in love with that place.
That is amazing.
Pat is my favorite. He's so good. And
Pat Mansky.
He's a great engineer. And he's a great producer. He's a drummer. He's a musician too. It's why I like working with musicians too. Like you just mentioned, just computer guys or tech guys haven't been my favorite. And I guess most engineers that are successful are musicians, either bass players or drummers or things like that. But I love, and also producing is not being in charge. It's just deciding on what needs to happen and moving forward and making the day go by, because everyone's in charge of the song, right? Everyone, I love that. Everyone needs to have a voice. It's like, I try to hire people who have, the quiet ones are like, I wish that wasn't fun. Or the ones are demanding, that wasn't that fun. But the guys who are there for the best of the song, that's the guys I want to hire too. And
yes, and you leave the last session I left, I mean, we're talking like,
and the artist feels good about those guys too,
and they're like, Sheryl Crow's drummer is like, he's like, so he shared the song, he's like, I want to do it again. You're a good songwriter whether they mean it or not, but I love guys that are excited to be there and seem excited about the music. That's amazing.
I won't say their names or his name, but I've had a few times where the musicians, like, you know, does a solo take. Hey, try something different. What's wrong with that one? It's like, well, it's, I just want to hear something different. Well, that was pretty good. It's like, it was fantastic, but can we try another one, just a little different flavor?
Right.
Okay. Dude, I mean, you're getting paid, you know, by the hour. What, I don't know what the problem is, so. Anyway.
That's so funny because the best ones in the world are like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Do you want me to, like, you know, play this backwards on, yeah, upside down in my head? Like, I'll try it.
Yeah, and at least that's, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's fun too. It's like, let me see what else fun I can do. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like love your songwriting. I love your records. And I was like, I'm thank really you upset that I don't. Well, one thing I was going to say is I did love one engineer so much, and he was like the greatest, and he was so hilarious. And I thought, man, this isn't just a normal engineer. Of course, he was Kimberly Dunn's producer, and he was just is the engineer in Nashville at Sound Emporium, and his name is Kyle. I'll put it in the recap later.
Was it Will Harrison?
No. But he was so funny, uh-huh, and he made me laugh all the time, and he had great suggestions, and he was just upbeat and funny, and I love that guy. So that guy deserves a shout out, and I can't remember your name because I'm on no sleep. You would think that I had babies.
Yeah. What you been doing?
Well, I'm just not good at sleeping. Something happened after 35. I also drank a bunch of wine last night, and I can't sleep after a bunch of wine.
See, I'm the opposite. Something happened after like 30 where I sleep way better.
Do you
actually 35? Getting married, I feel like just boom. I pass out. I don't know what it is. I used to just like.
Aw, that's happy. You're so happy. I'm happy so too.
And content. Yeah, that's right.
I think it was all the wine.
Yeah.
That was that. But tell me what's next on the horizon, because we're already like, I can't believe it. It flies by when you're talking to your
friends. I know. What's on the horizon? I don't think any more kids. I think we're going to stop at 2.
Okay. Well, they're very cute.
Thank you.
I think you should try one more.
No, we got two. We got okay a boy and a girl. Yeah. We couldn't make any cuter kids.
So they're so cute.
I do have a new album coming out again.
What?
In a few months, called Rewind the Acoustic Sessions.
Okay.
And it's going to be 17 songs.
Oh, my gosh.
All off my previous records.
Yeah.
So a couple off the, yeah. I've got 7 albums out now, so yeah. I've got, yeah, just a few. And they're not all my biggest songs, right? Just songs I like to play and songs I like the acoustic versions of that I used to play. It's Chris Farrell on guitar, oh, and Ben McPherson on fiddle, and me. That's, and I had 2 songs. I had Chris Gage play piano on one and Clay Korn play piano on one.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's going to be incredible.
Yeah, just like a throwback and,
yeah,
I don't know, bring some songs back. I mean, it's 20 years. I've never, you know, remember Greatest Hits records, yeah, and live records, yeah, and comp. And I hate using the word greatest hits, but this is like a way to put all of some of my favorite songs together, but different versions of. And it was cool.
Uh-huh. So. I want to do that with, because I have a line in a song that's called A Different Kind of Heat. And that's what I want to do, an acoustic record of like, yeah, all my favorites so far, kind of the same thing. But then someone was like, well, your first record is almost 15 years old. You should remake. I'm like, wait, what? How did that sneak up on me?
I know, it's crazy.
Are you kidding me? 15 years old? Ah! Well, I do want to say you're one of my oldest friends in the biz, and you've always been unbelievably kind to me, and I'm proud of all your success and all the things that you're doing, and you're such a good musician, such a good songwriter, but a great person, and you always have great people surrounding you, and I've always taken that with me, like, and you being able to have a manager for 20 years, how I don't even know if that's, I haven't had a manager for more than 1 year before. I'm like, no, this isn't working for me.
I don't know. Just trust, I guess.
Well, I think it's because you're a great person and you attract good people.
Well, thank you.
I must be a terrible person. I'm just kidding. I have Kyle.
Yeah.
I have Kyle.
What up, Kyle?
Yeah. Well, thank you so
much. No, thanks for having
much
me.
Now do we get to go drink
while,
wine?
So, yeah. I've been wanting to do this for a while.
You
so
have?
Thank you. Yeah, of course.
Was it everything you dreamed of?
Everything.
Did I miss anything important?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, we're at this beautiful wedding venue, and we're in wine country, so we got to go. We got to drink some wine.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Some Chianti.
Chianti?
Yeah.
Italian
some Montepulciano.
Wine. Montepulciano.
Yes, I learned the words. I figure I've got one shot to make my move. Gotta say it all right. Gotta play it cool. If you'll give me a second, I've got a question to ask you. Just tell me what you're drinking, song. If I know it, girl, I'll drink along.